For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. She shares with us what she's learned as a daughter, wife, mother, and missionary on this radio program, Gateway to Joy. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, continuing my musings of a missionary. Have you heard the story of a man by the name of John W. Vinson? He was affectionately called Uncle Jack in North Kyangsu, China, way back in the 30s. Well, Uncle Jack had an interesting story. His fellow missionaries said, "You are not strong enough to itinerate so soon after your operation." "I must go," he replied. And then he added, "I must witness for the Lord while I can." Was he thinking of the words of the Lord, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work"? He went to a little market town named Yangchiachi, about 30 miles to the southeast, and there he was warmly greeted by a little group of Chinese Christians, many of whom he himself had, through the years, baptized. After talking with them a while about the services to be held the next morning, he went to sleep there in the little chapel. That very night, a wild army of bandits, more than 600 in all, swooped down upon the little town, looting, burning, killing, and wounding the people all that night and the next day. And when they finally departed, they took with them about 150 Chinese men, women, and children to hold for ransom. But their prize captive was the American missionary. An army of government soldiers pursued the bandits and overtook them at a little village named Long Wang Dang, where the robbers barricaded themselves behind the village wall. The government troops immediately besieged the village. "Do you want to go free?" the bandit chief asked Vinson. "Certainly," he replied. "All right, you write a letter to the commanding officer of those soldiers to withdraw his troops, and we will let you go free." "Will you also free all these Chinese prisoners?" the missionary asked. "Certainly not," replied the bandit chief. "Then I too refuse to go free," said Vinson. And he was adamant, even in the face of vehement threats. That night, the bandits tried to break out in the darkness. Many of them were killed, and 125 of the 150 captives escaped. The bandits fled, taking Vinson with them. But he could not run because of the recent operation. One bandit threatened Mr. Vinson with a pistol and was trying to frighten him. "I'm going to kill you," he said as he pointed the gun at the missionary's head. "Aren't you afraid?" "No, I am not afraid," came the calm reply. "If you kill me, I will go right to God." And Mr. Vincent was shot and beheaded. At the time of his death, the writer also was itinerating in bandit territory between Suzhen and Haizhou. When he reached a little railroad station to return home, he heard the sad news. And when he arrived home, he read the full glorious account written by our Haizhou missionaries of Jack Vinson's fearless witness for Christ. He went into his study and sat silently for a few minutes. And then, picking up his pen, he began to write, as though it were some hymn he was recalling from memory. Within 15 minutes, the five verses all were written and never have been changed. If ever a poem was given by God, this one was. Afraid of what? To feel the Spirit's glad release? To pass from pain to perfect peace? The strife and strain of life to cease? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Savior's face, to hear his welcome, and to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? A flash, a crash, a pierced heart, darkness, light, O heaven's art, a wound of his, a counterpart. Afraid of that? Afraid? Of what? To enter into heaven's rest? And yet to serve the master blessed from service good to service best? Afraid of that? Afraid of what? To do by death what life could not. Baptize with blood a stony plot. Till souls shall blossom from the spot. Afraid of that? Of course, that poem was sent to me when my husband Jim was killed. Those five men did indeed baptize with blood a sandy plot on the Cotodai River of eastern Ecuador. And out of that sacrifice, hundreds, perhaps even thousands, of lives have been turned in the direction of missionary work. I meet them wherever I go. Again, back to one of my friend Van's letters. Van was my close friend in college. He was working in the Sudan with the Nuer tribe, N-U-E-R. I am more and more sure that one who is to know the intimacy of the love of God must necessarily go to where he is exposed in all of his being to the sufferings of Jesus. Not only is such an obedience necessary to know God's love, but that God might be fully glorified. If Jesus died in a kind of obscurity, how will the glory be made manifest? But Jesus didn't die in obscurity. He was surrounded by mobs of jeering enemies, as well as by the few who were not afraid to love him. He died that we might be partakers with him of his sufferings. Hence, his remark to his Father is pertinent for us as well. Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Have you thought about the fact that if we die to ourselves, that just as in Jesus dying to himself and to his own will and saying to his Father, Thy will be done, his glory was made manifest. You and I who love God want to represent God in as clear and unsullied a way as we possibly can here on earth. What do they see in us? What do they hear from our lips? What do they observe of our character, our kindness, our self-giving, self-abandonment? The acid test, of course, to those questions is, what do my family see? What does my husband see? What does my next-door neighbor see? What of my children? Do they see a mother who is sloppy in her work? A mother who raises her voice and screams at her children? Perhaps a mother who neglects her children? Or, most sad of all, a mother who abandons her children? A father who is very much a visible figure in the church? A man looked up to, a man admired, but a man who perhaps at home is anything but loving as Christ loved the church to his wife. A father who is out scuba diving, perhaps, surfing, playing in a boat or on some fancy vehicle on a Saturday afternoon when he should have been with his children. Am I stepping on anyone's toes there? Am I ringing any bells? I'm talking about missions in this series, am I not? All of us are sent by God to make manifest his glory here on earth. Whether we're foreign missionaries or not, whether we would even think of calling ourselves missionaries in any sense or not, if we belong to him, he is asking us to follow him and to manifest in our ordinary everyday behavior what and who he is. this Lord has a will for you and me, his own perfect and glorious plan and will. The will of God is not a given quantity. It is creative, dynamic, flowing action. Jesus participated in that action by submitting to the will and moving with power along the appointed way, according to the appointed time, choosing the Father's will above his own. And that same Lord of the universe asks me to choose to follow him, to participate, as Christ did, in the flowing action, which is his will. Different phases of our lives have different sets of fears. We may think we're on guard, and suddenly a dart comes at us from some unexpected angle. We can't cover all the possibilities. We dodge and duck. But some of the fears get to us unless we take refuge in the Lord. I've been in positions in the jungle, in places, where fears got to me. But I knew that I did have a refuge in the Lord. And many times I hung on to those words from Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you, for I am the Lord your God. Let me read again just one stanza of that poem written after Vincent's death. Afraid of what? Afraid to see the Savior's face, to hear his welcome, and to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace? Afraid of that? Now in my old age, I spend quite a bit of time thinking of what it will be like to see my Savior's face. What will he ask me? What will he expect me to present to him by way of fruit? How have I lived? How will I live whatever time is left to me? I have no way of knowing whether I will be here tomorrow. I'm feeling fine. In the normal course of human events, we think we will do this or that tomorrow. Let's remember, we belong to him. He says, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. How did the Father send him into the world? He sent him as an ordinary human baby. He had to suffer. He had to learn obedience by the things which he suffers. When I talk to young people who want to be missionaries, I always try to make clear to them what I believe with all my heart, which is that spiritual preparation is far more important than academic. Of course, go ahead, finish your college, get a degree, go to seminary, Bible school, whatever you think is necessary. But none of those things compare with the spiritual preparation that comes only through taking up the cross.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.